Everybody, and welcome to the PC Gamer Show. Welcome back. It is now 2016, no longer in 2015. We've got a great year of games ahead of us. My name is Tom Marks. I am the assistant editor here at PC Gamer, along with James Davenport, associate editor. How you doing, James?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Welcome back to the office. We're all wiping the nighttime tears out of our eyes now that break's over. Also joining us is Mr. Will Chesney, video producer here at Future.
Hello.
How you doing, Will?
I'm good.
Will
I'm
is
good.
Also our resident birthday boy today.
Oh, that's true.
Happy
that's
birthday,
true.
Will.
Thank you.
I hope everyone in the chat sends you lots of love. And if you're watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast, then send love back in time if you're not watching today on Tuesday. But
I like to extend my birthday for as long as I can. So, if it's a week or a month, yeah, it's fine.
That's
January, anytime.
It's very humble of you, really.
Yeah.
But let's jump right in. We've got a great show. We're going to be talking about our most anticipated games of 2016, because there are a lot of them. We're going to be talking about the little tiff that Steam had over on Christmas, where it briefly kind of showed user data that it shouldn't have. And we're going to discuss kind of what happened and why it happened and if it's really a big deal and that sort of stuff. We're also going to be talking about the Oculus Rift taking pre-orders tomorrow, but also just VR in general. Will, last time we had you on the show, we also talked about VR, but now the day before you come back on the show, tons of VR stuff is happening. So I'm going to blame you.
It's my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Palmer Lucky.
So we don't have a Cat Fantastic today, but I want you guys to play a little game. Every time Will says it's my birthday or birthday, just like put a point down and we'll see. We'll tally it up at the end.
I'm a real jerk on my birthday too. I bring it up as much as I can.
There you go.
I was like, I'm not going to mention it at work today, and like walked in and told two people
first
thing. Yeah.
Well, let's jump in, and actually before we look forward, look a little back. James, what did you play over this break?
Oh.
We haven't talked in a couple of weeks, so you got a lot to look at and a lot to choose from.
I went back to Montana, so I didn't really have a computer there. It was just the icy wasteland and mountains, and actually my MacBook Air. So I was restricted to whatever was on that, or was able to run on that. Technically, I guess it's not a PC, it's a computer, it's hardware, it's running the stuff. But I played a lot. I'm just going to run through. Read-only memories.
Do it.
It's kind of this cyberpunk adventure game that actually takes place in San Francisco, future San Francisco, Neo San Francisco, I think it's called.
Nice.
It's kind of fun. I have not finished it yet, but I'll get to it. I started Shadowrun, Dragonfall, is that what it's called? Probably one of the biggest ones is, have you guys heard of Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes?
Yeah, but I haven't played it. That's the one where you have to defuse a bomb.
It's amazing. So it's a non-traditional game, we'll say that. one person plays on the computer, right? They're looking at a bomb with several modules on it. Some of them are like wires you have to cut. Some of them are just like weird little puzzles, like numbers you have to enter in a sequence, or there's a whole bunch of stuff. And there's serial numbers on the side and serial ports and all sorts of stuff you have to know. The other person is playing, ideally, with a manual that you print out.
What?
Yeah, and they can't see the screen, and the person defusing the bomb cannot see the manual, and you're just talking back and forth. You're saying, okay, I see five wires, there's three yellow, two red, you know, which one do I cut? And they're flipping through, okay, if there's two red, then, you know,
that's great.
Cut the middle one, and it's all the meanwhile, there's a timer ticking down, you know, and it's intense, stressful.
So who'd you play that with?
My mom.
That's amazing.
She's not really a gamer, but I figured she likes puzzle games, or at least, you know, like logic and
reading manuals.
Reading,
you know.
Manuals. And so, you know, she didn't have to dink around with the computer. It's simplest of controls anyway, but you can play this with anyone. It's really good with a group. As the bombs get more and more complex, if you have people like crowded around the binder, like flipping through stuff, and time's running down. It's really, really, really cool and a lot of fun.
And that's also one of the games that has built-in VR support right now.
Oh, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, you can have the person who's looking at the bomb in VR, where no one else can, literally no one can see the screen because it is on their face,
and they literally can't see the manual. Yeah, they can't turn and look.
Exactly.
You know?
So no cheating.
I've played it in VR before at PAX, and it's really cool. I mean, it's not necessary to play with VR, but it's a cool little, like, you're in a room, there's an alarm clock, and you know, it sets the mood a lot better. So I think that'll be a fun one to have in VR.
That I just have to say, shout out to a non-computer game app called Space Team.
Ah,
yes.
Reminds me a little bit of that.
It has that vibe.
Yeah.
Space Team is, for those who aren't familiar, a mobile game where I think it's free, actually.
It's a free mobile game, and it's tiny.
And
download it now.
You all get different, like, randomized consoles, and you have to press buttons in the certain order, but sometimes the instructions for which buttons to press are on somebody else's console, so you're, like, yelling out commands to you don't know who, and it's a similar sort of chaos.
Yeah. And the commands are all really goony, too, so, you know, you're just shouting ridiculous things.
It's amazing. Super fun. It kind of you feel like you're in one of those emergency ship situations in Star Trek or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
And you – so I want to hear – I want you to tell this story, though, because you told this in HipChat. I think it was right before break or maybe right after. I can't remember now. It's all a blur, those 2 weeks of my life. But you were playing Undertale on a plane.
Ah, yeah.
And you started to tell this story to me, and I thought it was adorable. And I want – can you tell it now?
I can't remember exactly what happened. It was pretty – I was playing Undertale on the airplane. I had yet to finish it, and I wanted to do a genocide run, which is – I won't spoil it for everyone, but basically where you just do a bunch of bad things and kill everyone you can. there was a little girl sitting next to me on the plane and watching me do this. And I killed a couple of the enemies, and most of the enemies are really pitiful, and they have, like, problems. They have dialogue, and it's really, really sad when you kill them, because you have the option to talk to them and do all sorts of things. So my genocide run did not last long at all, because I had someone next to me who was just – I could kind of see her frowning and her brow furrowing, and I felt the peer pressure and
I love the idea that, like, a little girl sitting next to you could, like, make you feel bad about the way you're playing this game.
You know, a lot of the time – it made me think of most of the time I'm playing these games with moral choice alone or something. Or, you know, I'm around someone who I'm not worried about their judgment, but – it was interesting to play a game where, you know, people who don't know you might be, and maybe she wasn't thinking this, but people who might be watching your actions and trying to piece together your personality based on how you play. And that kind of made me stressed out. And I was like, I'll leave a better impression. real quickly, I'll run through the rest because I think I need to shout these out.
Man, you have so many.
Oh, gosh. Tales from the Borderlands, best Telltale series so far. By a long shot.
Wow.
If you don't care about Borderlands, play it. Like, really funny, heartfelt. The best use of Telltale, like, choice and consequence in a while. Maybe ever.
That's cool.
Like, it feels like your choices matter. Good Power Rangers homage. Elite. I tried Elite Dangerous. I'm going to learn to be a spaceman.
nice.
Yes. So I'll get back to you on that. And last but not least, I've been playing Pony Island. Have you guys heard of Pony Island?
Briefly.
I don't want to explain too much. It's a game that has an innocent exterior, but has layers and layers and layers, and it's horrifying.
The name Pony Island is intentionally to throw you off.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I've yet to finish it. I'm about near the end, but it's pretty clever. It's funny, clever.
It's not like a pony game.
Scary. Yeah. It's scary. So,
yeah.
Check it out. It's $5 on Steam right now.
So. Well, Will, what about you? What have you – we haven't checked in on
you. Looking at my list. Yeah.
I'm assuming Planetside's on that list.
There are some probably pretty good guesses you could make. Planetside 2, Forever and Always. Played a lot of Heroes of the Storm. with you, actually,
yeah.
Once. That's the hardest thing of coming back to work is there were so many 2 a.m. video game nights this last week that, I mean, even last night, like, I'm, like, lying awake, like, why am I not tired? Oh, because I've been playing video games 2 a.m. every single night and then sleeping in. So Planet Side 2, Heroes of the Storm, actually went back and played a ton of Magicka, which is so funny with a group of people. A couple of my friends and I are playing. If you don't know Magicka, basically it's a top-down third-person kind of shooter, but you're all mages. And the controls are really chaotic. So you have 8 different buttons that are all different elements, and you have to combine them in all these crazy different ways to make spells. But there's very little instruction, and it's mostly experimentation, and you kill your friends a lot, which is kind of the fun. So I'm playing a lot of that. Played a game called Endless Sky, which is not part of the Endless Dungeon, right. Endless whatever.
Endless Legend.
Legend franchise. It's a completely separate from that. It's basically Escape Velocity Nova, for those of you who played that way back in the day. It's like overhead... Again, third person, you're in a spaceship. You start out, you know, in a tiny one, and you just trade planet to planet. It's kind of simple, but this game's kind of hitting all of the nostalgic memories of that, which is great.
I saw you playing that a lot of that, actually, over the break, and it's a free game, too.
It's free
to play on Steam.
I was like, which is kind of cool. The guy who made it... it's all open source. He kind of made it to be edited, which is kind of cool. All the assets in it, he like pulled from like NASA and like other just free databases, which is cool. I think a lot of the work went into edit tools for it. So like how to make your own little stories, how to make your own galaxy, different planets, different trading stuff. So cool little free-to-play game.
Cool.
And
I also played a lot of Heroes of the Storm this break. Got to get those stim packs while the Christmas thing was still going. I played a good amount of Heroes of the Storm. I played a good amount of Duelist as well. I was talking about Duelist just before the break.
Still good.
And it's still good. I mean, it's still rough around the edges with like beta stuff where it's like missing features here and there. But like the core gameplay is just still so fun, and it's free, so it's really easy to recommend. Once again, that's Duelist with a Y, not an I. And I played, actually, so I was up in Mount Lassen. I was up in the snow for a little bit. Nice. And I made an amazing snowman that I was really proud of because I love making snowmen. Making snowmen is, like, bar none, my favorite thing to do in the snow. I don't know why. It's just so great.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
But while we were up there, we didn't have internet access and we didn't have, you know, all this stuff. So I was mainly playing, and we wanted to, you know, be social with family people and not just sitting on a computer screen the entire time. So I played a lot of Snake Bird, actually.
Yeah, nice.
And I've talked about Snake Bird on the show before. And I love Snake Bird.
So
and
good.
I went back and I started playing through some of the later levels that I hadn't beaten yet. And oh my God, that game is still so hard. Like, I was expecting to kind of be rusty at it, but I got back into it, and it is still just – there are levels in Snake Bird. There are puzzles in that game where I open them, and I immediately close them and go to a different level because I look at it, and I'm just like, I can't do this. Like, all of the bonus levels – there are 53 puzzles total in that game, and I've resigned myself to never being able to complete probably about – 6 of them. Like 6 or 7 of them, I just look at them and I'm like, nope, I'm good.
Nah.
Bye. Like,
That's
I just
awesome.
Can't do this. It's just too difficult in a very, very good way. I mean, I'm sure there are puzzlers out there who will love that extra challenge. I just can't recommend Snake Bird enough if you like puzzle games. On top of that, I played Spelunky for the first time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Welcome.
I know. I picked it up in the Steam sale. Yeah. That game is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
I don't think I've played it enough to really appreciate kind of how good the randomization is and that sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, there's a hump there.
But I'm looking forward to playing more. Cool. I like that it's up to four players. I really enjoyed playing it. I played some, like, because also I had family in town, so I played some Gang Beasts, you know. Mm. I played Towerfall, that sort of stuff. And the other game that I – like, single-player game that I was glad I finally got into was Undertale. Because I picked that up also while it was on sale. Not on Steam, actually. I bought it straight from the developer's website because they also had it on sale, and apparently they make more of a cut that way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I figured, why not?
So what you're saying is you're undercutting Steam.
Yes.
Yeah.
The big man.
We got to get him.
Getting Valve where it hurts. Damn.
Well, we can talk about maybe why that's not such a bad thing later. But, I do recommend to people that if you are becoming wary of Valve for any reason, a lot of the time with indie games, you can buy the game off of their website, usually at the same price, usually discounted at the same price too, and they'll make more of the cut. And usually now those indie developers are using Humble to distribute their games, so you get a Steam key.
Whoa.
Which at that point it's kind of like, why would you not do that? You know, unless you want to support Valve, which is a totally valid reason.
Yeah.
But I liked Undertale so far. Once again, I think I'm not into it far enough to really like appreciate what everyone else sees in it. But these are games that I started and then kind of got distracted by other things.
Yeah.
And I'm really trying hard to not let myself just walk away from them forever.
Cool.
You know, that happens way too much to me, where I'll pick up a game and I'll be like, man, this is really cool. I'm glad I got it discounted. And I'll play it for like 4 hours and then I'll just like not touch it again. And I hate when I do that for a game like Undertale, which is a short experience as it is. And just why don't I just complete it? Like, why don't I do that? You know? So I really want to go back to that. If you in the chat have anything that you'd like to bring up that you guys played extensively over this winter break, whether you had the time off or not, let us know. We'll take a quick look. Blood Valley says GTA 5. Is that what – I think that's to that question.
it's a good holiday game. It's kind of,
I mean,
sit around.
Sometimes I just drop that into Steam – or into Twitch chat, so
never
it could
know.
Be anything.
Yeah, I mean, I was disappointed actually in general that I didn't jump into a big open world game like I said I was going to before the break. When I was talking to Tyler about this, I was like, I want to jump back into The Witcher 3. And then I actually just ended up going for these single serving games more, like Heroes of the Storm and Duelist, where I could just jump in, play a few games, and jump out, because there were so many other things I was doing during the break. Like, you know, I was doing a lot of like house cleaning, a lot of shopping, a lot of family stuff. So it was much more suited to me to be able to spend 20 minutes on a session of Duelist or a session of Heroes of the Storm and then move on and do things than it was to just like sit with The Witcher for 8 hours, which I was kind of disappointed about because I really missed that. I haven't done that with a game in a very, very long time.
You didn't play any Fallout, did you?
I played maybe 4 hours total of Fallout and was just like completely
ever.
– and was just completely not hooked by it.
Like, it's legit.
I could see why somebody could spend hours and hours and hours forever playing that game, but it was just something where I saw what – unlike Undertale and Spelunky, where like I haven't quite seen like what makes it click yet. Like I saw what Fallout wanted me to get out of it, and I was like, I'm okay. You know, like this is a game that I wasn't –
That's fine.
I wasn't super into.
Yeah, I didn't play it. You know, I'm about 100 hours in. But I just didn't end up picking it up at all this break. I mean, I'm still going to go back to it. But
you said like 30 of those hours is just town building, right?
Oh, yeah. And then gathering supplies for the town. But – Still, I actually started on the main quest finally, but
oh my god, after 100 hours,
yeah. But then I kind of petered off. But I'm excited to pick it up again. But what I should do is I'll play it on an airplane with a small child next to me judging me, and
should
I think that'll
line.
Be a better
should
experience.
I decimate this raider town?
Yeah,
I'll talk to him.
That is one complaint. I wish there was more.
Yeah.
Talk. I just saw an article that somebody played through the game totally pacifist, maybe, or did a lot of it that way.
Yeah, air quotes pacifist.
Yeah.
But it almost broke the game, apparently.
Yeah.
Because there's
There's a lot of killing. Yeah.
The shooter is what I would call it.
It is a shooter. Yeah.
JBJ Blaze in the chat, who's now a subscriber, and I don't know when
that happened. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Said, played some Smite and Paladins. I actually steered away from those kind of games. I almost picked up Dirty Bomb.
Nice.
Kind of missing Overwatch because the beta hasn't started back up yet. And and then I didn't quite get there. I'm not sure why.
I still want to jump into Paladins. I haven't yet. I think I even installed it, and then it's just sitting there. But
and then
check that out.
He also says Rocket League and Metal Gear Solid 5, and those are both good options. See, Rocket League is another one of those games where you could just like jump in for a bit and then jump out. And Metal Gear maybe not like that, but.
I have so many multiplayer games that I'm playing right now that I haven't started. I've like made an actual decision not to start Rocket League because I know I'm going to love it. Oh. So like there was even like a four-pack sale, you know. I was like, buy it for everybody. No, we'll wait.
It'll be there.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Paladins, for those asking, Paladins is the kind of first-person shooter with slight MOBA elements-ish, not really, thing that Hi-Rez is making. It's currently in closed beta, I believe, and we talked about it previously on the show. I'm not super thrilled with it, but who knows? Maybe Chris Thurston is actually at the Smite World Championships this week, and so he might be able to get his hands on it, and we'll have another opinion on Paladins. But let's move right along. Yes. Let's stop looking back, and let's start looking forward. So there are going to be a lot of games coming out in 2016. Yeah. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about VR later, and this might be like the year of the VR revolution, but also just outside of that, there are so many good games coming out this year.
It's kind of intimidating.
It is. It is really intimidating. We have a guide on the site that's just a guide to the games of 2016. We tried to list as many of the best, biggest releases or even the best indie games that we've seen that are coming out this year. And I think we're just going to kind of scroll through that list, talk about ones. But first, like, what would you say your kind of most anticipated game is?
I'm going to look at my list again that I wrote down.
I mean, we talked about this before the show. Yeah. I was taking notes.
But there are just so many.
I wrote, I boiled it down to 10-ish.
Nice. 10-ish.
Yeah. But for me, I'm Dark Souls 3.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, that's a big one.
See, Dark Souls 3 is crazy to me because it's like it's one of those games that I am excited for and is barely on my radar because there are just so many games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too many games.
Too many.
Yeah. What about you?
I mean, honestly, this is kind of ridiculous, but Double Fine relaunching, remastering Day of the Tentacle has me very excited because that game was pivotal to my love of video games.
There you go.
I've been playing a lot of PlanetSide, playing a lot of Heroes, playing a lot of like multiplayer competitive games. Mm-hmm. Very easy to get, a Hearthstone or whatever. Very easy to get like angry, get upset, take it too seriously, get stressed. Like that game is just fun and funny. And even if you're frustrated and stuck, it's still ridiculous. So looking forward to that. Let me look at my list here.
Mine actually comes – both of the games that I'm most excited for come really early in the year.
Nice.
Mine is – Jello Wiggler mentioned this in the chat. The Witness comes out on the 29th of this month, and I am – I've been in, like looking forward to that game for – coming on like 3 years now because I saw I think I might have mentioned this on the show before actually. Jonathan Blow, the game designer and the game designer of Braid as well. Mm-hmm. I saw him talk at UCLA when I was still attending UCLA, and he was showing a mostly playable version of The Witness like 3 or 4 years ago when I was there seeing him, and it obviously looks better now. They've improved the graphics, improved the lighting, but also I just can't imagine what 3 years of refinement on a game will do to it. You know, if they had a playable version of the game 3 years ago, what 3 more years can do to it? I'm excited for the polish of that game.
And I think a lot of that 3 years probably went into the puzzles, which is what's exciting about it. I mean, I was reading there's some quote where he said like some of the harder puzzles he doesn't think even 1% of the players will solve. And you don't need to solve all the puzzles, but did you guys play Myst or any of those kind of? Because I never did. I mean, I had friends who had it. I think Albert's in the chat right now, but I think he had it. So I kind of watched people play a little bit, which, you know, was a thing to do.
There are people who hate Myst. There are people who swear Myst is a terrible game that you should never play.
Yeah.
I can say confidently that I think the sequel, Riven, and then the third one, Exile, are really, really good. Myst you can play kind of for the nostalgia of Myst. Yeah. And then the fourth and fifth Myst games you do not need to touch.
I didn't even know there was a fourth and fifth.
Those ones I believe were not developed by the same team and kind of just started getting weird and crazy and way too hard, and it was just not worth it. The first three is really what you want.
But Witness seems cool because it captures a little bit of that, very puzzle based, but also, like you said, gorgeous. So even if you're not solving puzzles, you're walking around this island.
True.
So. Cool stuff.
But let's look at the list.
Overwatch was my other big one. Overwatch.
Oh, yeah. Overwatch is a good one.
I just have to bring that up now. Yeah.
That's a given.
I already bought it, which was probably really silly, but I was like, it's pre-order. And then I saw the date. I was like, not until next year.
Bought it anyway.
Yeah. Props.
My other one was XCOM. So that's also coming. Yeah, XCOM 2 is coming out in February. I got some early stuff, but let's go through the list.
We've
separated it into kind of genre generally. So first is action and stealth. And I was mentioning this before the show, like right off the bat, these four games are incredible, right? They're Dishonored 2, Mirror's Edge, Catalyst, Hitman, Deus Ex, Mankind Divided. Like just that first four is so impressive.
Yep.
And then let's see. Do you guys have any strong opinions on any of those? I'm really nervous about Mirror's Edge. I think that game might not be good. Like,
it could go either way. It could be great.
I think the open world aspect of it might be too much. I think it just might be wrong. I think that one of the things that I liked about Mirror's Edge, the first one, was that it had these crafted kind of paths. And if it's open world, it might just feel very samey every time you're running through an area.
I'm reminded of a game that came out last year, 2015, called Lemma, that was basically Mirror's Edge in a surreal environment, a cubist environment, and it went open world near the end and was kind of cool for it. I felt like I was improvising a lot more, and if they can like maybe mix up the environments and like make it open enough to feel like you're crafting your own like routes and, you know, you're doing your own thing, it'd be cool. It could be, like you said, maybe exhausting and samey.
I'm just nervous that running on top of buildings will become like The Witcher 3's riding a horse, right?
Roach, don't get me started.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's not singling out The Witcher 3 specifically, because The Witcher 3 is an incredible game, but just every open world has that problem of if you have to travel long distances constantly over and over, it becomes mundane no matter how fun it is. And if the point of Mirror's Edge is movement, and the movement ends up becoming mundane because it keeps sending you through these, like, I don't know. Maybe this is fear is unfounded. I haven't played it. We haven't even seen gameplay really of it. So that's my early kind of hesitance with Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
Yeah, and I mean when the content is the movement, right, then you just have to be careful. I mean, my worry is a less linear version, like an open world version. I worry of like sort of the Assassin's Creed, where if you're trying to do parkour-y type stuff and it kind of snaps you onto like a building, like doesn't have that flow feel downright. So
let's also look at Hitman. I think Hitman's gotten a lot of crap.
It's weird.
Yeah, because no one really knows what to make of it, because people were like, okay, so you're releasing it episodically. And they're like, no, we're not releasing it episodically. We're releasing the full game and then adding like – or we're releasing most of the game and then adding these bits as it goes, like living game. And they were like, so it's early access. And they were like, no, it's done. And it's like, so DLC. And they were like, no, it's not DLC, it's free. And so no one knows what to call it. And it's just really confusing. But it could, like, outside of all that, it could still just be a fun game or a bad game completely removed from what its release plans are.
I mean, the cool thing about that is potentially if, you know, everyone only can play the first chunk of the game at once and then everybody gets the second chunk at the same time, potentially. Again, if that's exactly how it's going, I don't know. But
we're not sure how it's going yet.
But the nice thing about that is it means everyone sort of has a shot at those that second chapter challenge mm-hmm. at the same time. So, you know, like someone hasn't done it and spoiled it or whatever. So it could preserve spoilers and that kind of thing.
It could be cool. Like, oh, there's a new, you know, scenario coming out this month and the conversation shifts and everyone kind of hops back on. I don't know. That's a fun way to experience a game.
And they said that they said that they'll be adding missions to assassination missions where they add it for like a day or something, or it's timed, and then they'll remove it. And if you lose on the mission, you don't get to try it again. So it's like a one shot
daily. Yeah.
It might be daily. I don't think they said specifically when it's coming out, but like, I like that concept because it's so much more kind of tension in the level, right? To have that permadeath, but only on specific missions. I think that's really a cool idea. I'm looking forward to it. March 11th. So we won't have to wait too long. Okay. Mankind Divided is another huge one that everyone is waiting for. Deus Ex is, you know, we've seen a surprising amount for the game not coming out until late August, especially when you compare it to something like Fallout 4, which got announced in, what, June and then came out 4 months later or something like that, five mm-hmm. months later. So we've seen a surprising amount of Deus Ex. I never played the other ones, unfortunately. Okay. So I'm a big Deus Ex noob. Yeah. I don't know why. I just have never really been interested in that world. Did you guys play the newest Deus Ex?
Yeah. It was all right.
Legit.
No, it's good. It's a good game. I just think it's Dishonored's better. It's kind of that semi-open world stealth. I'm going to go about it either guns blazing or, you know, hack stuff or, you know, do the vents. There's a lot of conveniently placed vents in these games. So I'm looking forward to it. I like those games. But it's hard to say. What, you know, I worry about them getting a little too, I hate to sound like, this sounds so elitist, friendly, you know? because if you've played the first Deus Ex and then you go and play, what was the last one? Human Revolution? Something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
It felt pared down, at least to me significantly, and a bit more forked as opposed to open. So, I don't know.
Also, real quick shout out to Catatonic Sheep, who just subscribed as well.
So
thank you very much for subscribing.
Cool.
We
love video games.
So Dishonored 2 is another one where I'm surprised by how much love that game gets now, because I feel like when it came out, it kind of flew under the radar. Not under the radar, but like it wasn't, you know, lauded as one of the best games ever made. And now there's a lot of retrospective love for it. And there's a lot of excitement for the second one coming out. Not in any way saying that it doesn't deserve it or does deserve like the non-love or whatever, you know. But I was just surprised to see when Dishonored 2 got announced how excited people were.
Oh, so jacked. Two playable characters.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
That's very cool. I'm sorry. Assassin's Creed Syndicate already did that? They beat Dishonored way to the...
Arcane. It's Arcane.
So actually, this Christmas, I got a GTX 970 for Christmas from my family, and it came with Assassin's Creed Syndicate, like, as a code.
There you go.
And I'm kind of interested in trying that game because I've heard a lot of mixed things about it.
People like it. If you like Assassin's Creed games, I hear it's a good one of those.
Well, and we can talk about this, too. There was a rumor. Just this last week that that Ubisoft was going to skip a year for Assassin's Creed. And this is totally unconfirmed. But Kotaku's sources and also somebody in like a 4chan thread basically posted and said, Ubisoft is going to take a year off from Assassin's Creed games and kind of rethink the series, which I would be for. But it means we're potentially not going to see an Assassin's Creed game this year if those reports are true.
I have four others I can go back and play still.
Exactly.
We got the movie coming out.
Yeah. Plus we have Dishonored and Hitman and Deus Ex. Yes. So we're like, we're set on stealth. But let's keep going through this list because there's too many, right?
Yeah, we got to pick and choose.
Far Cry Primal is another one. That one is coming out on March 1st, and they said now it's – originally people thought it was going to be like kind of like a Blood Dragon thing where it was like Far Cry Blood Dragon was to – like a spinoff of Far Cry right. 3, and people figured this was going to be a spinoff. But now they're saying it's actually a full Far Cry yeah. game, which I don't know. I mean, it's hard to imagine a Far Cry game without guns. Right. But,
you got a bow and a club, and apparently you can fly an owl.
You become the owl, sort of.
You become the owl, sort of. Sort of. Some, like, yeah. old-school spiritual...
You, like, scout with it or whatever. I think you can, like, even upgrade your owl to maybe drop rocks on people or some...
your owl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Owl upgrades.
Who's not excited for that?
Personally, and maybe this is just because of who I am, I kind of prefer, like, the sci-fi direction rather than yeah. the, like, primitive direction. Yeah. So... I would have preferred to see, like, Far Cry Moonbase or something sure. like that, you know.
Yeah. And the opposing view is, like, a lot of people on our staff have, like, talked about if it was Primal, we wish it didn't look so similar. Like, it almost – I don't want to be reductive. It doesn't look like a reskin of those games. But,
right.
I mean, you have a bow and you have a lot of these same, like, utilities but with, you know, a prehistoric aesthetic. So it's like –
yeah.
It's, go all in. If you can.
It's interesting. I feel like, and this might be weird, but I feel like that game is going to be make or break from the late game of it, if that makes sense. Because the beginnings of Far Cry games and the beginnings of those open world kind of do anything you want, kill everything mm-hmm. you want action games always kind of feel similar in that you're starting to build up your power. You know, they give you little treats here and there.
Yeah.
But then the end game is where you have like a power spike and you start getting just absurdly strong and can do anything you want, and there's a certain joy that comes from that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that's going to be in Far Cry Primal, because there's no like T-Rexes for you to ride, right?
Right.
So like I just don't know what the next step of that game is, and I'm interested to see
yeah.
what it'll be. I'm not skeptical that they can't do it or anything.
Right.
I just don't know what it will be. But moving along, we also just heard Rise of the Tomb Raider got an official date as January 28th. So that's coming right up.
So excited.
It's yeah. no longer an exclusive.
Yeah.
Not that it was ever going to stay an exclusive for long, I don't think. And yeah. we talked about this briefly on the show before of, you know, if they released their game on the same day as Fallout 4 and it just didn't do well in sales and nobody saw, like, nobody picked it up really. Nobody was talking about it when they could be talking about Fallout. And I think that one of the reasons that the game is coming out on PC so soon is when they called it an exclusive, quote-unquote, timed exclusive or whatever, is because I think they just needed to make money off this game. I think they needed to put it back into people's minds as quickly as they possibly could. And they saw right. these other games coming out in February and March and said, we just need to beat that. You know, we just need to get it out there. But it does – like, it's gotten good reviews on the console, and it's – you know, it looks very pretty. I'm actually excited – to play it, because I've been looking for a linear action game like that. I've been kind of craving that. So I'm excited to play something that's not open world.
I think it's sort of open world, Tom.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Damn, man. Sort come of. On.
You can play it linearly, though. I mean, just like yeah. have someone tell you where to go next.
There you go.
On an airplane.
On an airplane.
I thought it was more like linear, like the Uncharted games or the other Tomb Raider. But maybe I'm wrong and maybe I'm sad. And
I don't know.
I just wasted everyone's time talking about it. So let's move on if you guys don't have anything to say on Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, there's a lot here. We've barely scratched the surface.
Dead Island 2. I'm going to let you guys talk about that as I scroll.
Yeah.
Do we know who's developing it now? Because
I'm not sure. Hey,
it's Deep Silver is the publisher. Okay. So we don't...
Jaeger definitely stopped working on it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But
I mean, it could be fun. It could be fun. Killing zombies is fun.
The original Dead Island wasn't bad. It just kind of like wasn't
good.
Incredible. You know, or yeah. I guess incredible is James. Maybe what you said is closer to the fact, but no, I thought it was like fine. It was like a decent zombie game. So maybe if they work out some of the kinks, that'll be okay.
Yeah,
it's not a Dead Island MOBA, so that's good.
Forgot about that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did you ever hear about that? Well,
no. There was I missed that.
There was a Dead Island MOBA that lasted for maybe a couple weeks into beta. Sea of Thieves, I'm excited about.
Pirate MMO?
Yeah, it's the pirate MMO from Rare.
Ooh.
And we don't really know much about it from the gameplay trailer that they did put out, which I'm sure is really early. Could look really cool, could look really sweet. Bad, but I love the idea of like being on a pirate ship with people.
I love that. How does it? I mean, is it kind of Star Citizen?
No, but, you're like one person on a ship.
Yeah.
No, that's what I mean. Like, so is it Star Citizen-y as in, like, you know, one person's kind of the captain and is driving the ship, and
I
then
would hope so.
The crew's kind of hanging out.
That's kind of the like idea you got your trailer.
Got your little guild comes on, and yeah, I mean that's cool.
Team plundering.
Yeah, I think it's similar to that. Keefus Maximus asks, rare like N64 rare, and yes, I like N64 rare, like the people who make Donkey Kong Country and Banjo Kazooie, and
damn.
Although that company has shifted since then.
I don't know how many original people are there or what.
I think there's an okay number. It's not a huge amount. Like a lot of the people that were the founding members, like 6 or 7 of them from the people who made Donkey Kong Country and Banjo Kazooie, now are making Yooka-Laylee at Playtonic. Yeah, so, you know, obviously a part of that team is still there, but a large part of that team is also gone.
Yep.
So it's not the same people.
But still, that is cool. Good spot.
Yeah. And yeah, Tyler points out that we haven't really seen much of it. We've seen a trailer with like that has multiple players on a boat, but we don't really know how it works yet. So that'll be interesting. But there are too many games, so we're going to move on.
Yes.
Chasm is an interesting Metroidvania kind of 2D side-scrolling.
It's my favorite word.
Yeah, it's a cool game. Oh God, there's too many games.
That's a good Division. Hangman. Good, you know.
Hangman?
Trick people. Yeah.
Chasm? Like,
yeah, Chasm. Nobody's going to get that. Two consonants with vowel. Yeah. Go on. Sorry.
So there you go, kids. If you, if you're playing Hangman while you're waiting in class or something.
Chasm. Also Pudgy.
So the Division.
Vowel. Great.
Pudgy?
Yeah. That'll...
What are you, like a Hangman expert?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What did you do in math class? Go on. Sorry.
The Division is coming out, which is, you know, it's on March 8th. It's coming out. And, oh, my God, we've heard so much about it. And then it got delayed. And then it got delayed again. And then, you know, now, like I was saying yesterday in our weekly meeting, that there was a ton of hype for The Division. And then it just kind of got delayed so much that nobody's talking about it really anymore. But it still looks like a really cool game. And it looks like the conversation I thought was interesting was Tim, our editor-in-chief, was talking about, like, is this going to be the PC's destiny to a certain extent? Like, it's this online multiplayer RPG-based shooter.
Right.
Obviously, it's not identical or anything, and obviously there's already Warframe on PC, which fills that niche. But it could attract a similar audience, I suppose.
You just need cool fashion. And then you're good.
That's true.
Oh, my God. I just want to say also The Last Casuals just subscribed. So we've gotten 3 subscribers just this show.
Yeah. Not meaning to poke you.
All the podcast
that's awesome.
And
Congrats.
YouTube listeners are like so confused right now. Like, what do they mean subscribe? We mean Twitch subscriptions.
I subscribe to this podcast every week. Or I've been. Yeah. It's great.
But yes, thank you for the support, everyone who is doing that. But yeah, are you guys hyped for The Division at all? Like, I'm nervously hyped about it, I guess. I'm, like, interested in it, but I have no idea.
Can I be honest and say I have never heard of it before you mentioned it?
Oh, my God. Like, just now?
Yeah, and I spent a lot of time looking at games. So, what? But go on. Yeah,
so then,
I don't know.
For the uninitiated.
Yeah.
It's called Tom Clancy's The Division.
Oh, yeah.
one of my friends know what we're talking about.
One of my friends was like, Albert, actually, who may or may not still be in chat. He was talking about that the other day.
Yeah, so. And it's an online shooter with RPG elements where you level up and stuff, and it's a third person shooter set in like post apocalypse, and you run around a city and. Kind of, or not post-apocalypse, but post-crisis, I guess. Like, the world has shut down and the financials, whatever, went crazy. And it's, like, all, like, a military state now. And people, like, walk through these abandoned cities scavenging stuff. And then the interesting thing, the most interesting thing to me is that there are these dark zones in it where when you go into a dark zone, potentially with your friends in a team or with strangers in a team, there are other people online in those dark zones also scavenging and also fighting things.
Cool.
And you can kind of either befriend them and help work with them and team up, or you can just probably do what everyone's going to do, which is murder them on sight. And then you can betray your friends. It just sounds incredibly stressful, basically. It sounds like the most stressful social situation ever. Because, James, you know that when you and me play this game together eventually, I'm going to shoot you in the back. I'm sorry.
Now that you've said it.
He won't know when.
Yeah.
He won't know when. But The Division has a lot of hype, too. Let's keep moving, though. There's the new Doom. Which is also exciting, and we've seen an okay amount, but we still don't have a hard date on yet. I've never really enjoyed the Doom games. Like, not that I thought they were bad, but they've just never been my type of shooter, you know? So I'm not entirely excited for Doom, but not out of like, it looks bad. Just kind of out of, it's not my bag.
Looks okay. Satan and stuff.
Everything I've heard of people who've played it have said that they've enjoyed it. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the snap grid thing that I was talking about. They have this really robust level and scenario editor in it.
Oh, cool.
Where they're kind of not doing mod support, but they're like giving you so many tools in the game that you don't need mod support to a degree. Obviously, you always need mod support and you'd always like to see mod support. It's nice that they're doing that.
Solid.
The Last Casual says DayZ is still in target for a 2075 release date.
Can't wait.
Burn. Shots fired.
I mean, I'll play it.
Will, you mentioned Overwatch. I've talked about Overwatch enough on this show. Coming out June 21st at the latest, because that's when they sold pre-orders for. If you sell pre-orders, fun fact, if you sell pre-orders for a game, you have to have a date it will come out by. Otherwise, you're not allowed to sell the product. So
are you saying legally or
legally? Legally,
yeah.
Huh. You're not allowed to sell something and not say when it's coming out. So at least in retail, right? So it's coming out at the latest June 21st, and it might come out before that if they decide so. But
which June is the 20th. Smart thing about selling ships rather than selling the game? Selling in-game assets rather than a pre-order of the game itself.
Yeah.
There you go.
Star Citizen.
Also shots fired.
Yeah. Also potentially 2016, so I'm excited and whatever. I'll play that game. I'll play the hell out of that game. But
Eve Valkyrie, we talked about, or, you know, is the game that's being packaged now with Oculus Rifts. It will not be Oculus exclusive. It'll also work on the Vive. But it's kind of like a space shooty game that looks cool. Oh, my God. There are so many games. I know I keep saying that. Yeah. Paragon, we talked about briefly, is Epic's kind of MOBA third-person shooter thing, which looks interesting and we've seen very little about. Squad is already in early access.
Yeah, I have some friends who play that.
Supposed to be coming out. Yeah, it's supposed to be coming out in late 2016 and it's supposed to be very good. Lawbreakers. Are you guys at all excited about Lawbreakers? It's getting so lost in this wave of shooters like it.
I was before we knew much about it. It was like, oh, what's it, you know? But, yeah, I mean, I'm more excited for Overwatch, even though they might be totally different.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think of it as sort of falling into that, you know?
It's a similar category.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the same type of game in the same way that, like, Overwatch and Dirty Bomb are not exactly the same type of game. But it's a similar category. It fills a similar niche.
I'm kind of excited for it to come out, other people to play it a little bit, and then maybe I'll jump on, you know.
You shook your head, James.
There's so many ways you can shoot in video games now.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want rats insta-give.
Yeah.
Good. You're good. Yeah, well, then let's keep talking about ways to shoot. Battleborn is also coming out. And every time I hear Battleborn mentioned, it's always like Battleborn or Overwatch. Which one do you like? But I think they're trying to do different things.
Yeah.
Just stylistically, maybe that's why people say that. But,
I guess.
But characters.
The little bit of Battleborn we checked out, I think it was at PAX Prime. I mean, it felt very, very different from Overwatch. I mean, it's just like the spaces were bigger. And not that that's a good or bad thing. You know, there was a lot of PvE stuff going on too, which is cool. I think it's got its own place.
Modes,
yeah,
right? Some MOBA-E modes.
They avoid the word, but it's MOBA-E. Yeah.
Everyone avoids that word now.
And it could be cool.
Campaign, apparently.
Yeah, and also in that same vein, Paladins, which we talked about earlier, is coming out. It's in its closed beta, but it'll probably launch.
Plants vs. Zombies 2, shout out. Love it.
Yep.
Oh, Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare.
Garden Warfare 2, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yep. So good.
I heard good things about the first one.
I loved it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so good. Homefront Revolution, I just don't even know what to think. I'm going to just jump by that
one,
honestly.
At least one friend who is so excited about that. And it's for nostalgic reasons.
Yeah.
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 But
I liked one of the old home – or the I liked the first Homefront even though it kind of got – it wasn't amazing, but it was like – it was good. Mass Effect Andromeda, I'm going to say that name and then move on.
Yep.
Because who are we kidding? That game is not coming out in 2016. I would be willing to put money down right now that gets delayed.
Yeah, spend money. I just want to like hope, man.
I'll bet you a copy of Mass Effect Andromeda. If it comes out in 2016, I'll buy your copy. If it comes out in 2017, you buy my copy.
That's actually a pretty good bet. That's a pretty good deal.
We'll settle this off camera.
Okay. Yeah. Let's keep moving, though.
Yeah.
There's so many. We're now kind of into the, like, the RPG side of thing. Harvest Moon Seeds of Memories is... Oh, man. It just makes me cry.
Plants. You can plant stuff, right?
That's the game that does not look at all like Harvest Moon. It looks it looks like they made a mobile... Like, they made it for mobile, too, and it looks atrocious.
That's rough.
It really looks bad, and it's kind of sad. But...
It could be cool on mobile.
If you are looking for, if you are looking for a Harvest Moon style game, Stardew Valley. We just actually ran a Show Us Your Rig today with the developer of this. It's being made entirely by one dude, like art, sound, coding, everything. And he's been working on it for a while now. And it's going to be like a co-op Harvest Moon slash thing, bits of Animal Crossing in there, because you can like design and decorate your house, and then you can get married to people, and then also there's like an RPG element where you have swords and you can go into caves and adventure. It's insanely cool, and it's the indiest of indie. So Stardew Valley looks really interesting.
Sweet. Yeah, that's solid.
I'm
looking at my little list too.
Yeah. do you have any that I haven't mentioned yet?
Yeah, We Happy Few.
Yeah,
Looks pretty cool. It's basically 60s England, but everybody's on a drug that sort of like a mind control happy drug called Joy, and you're part of like this small group of people who are not taking the drug but pretending to, and they're sort of resisting the government. But whatever, cool plot. But it's, I believe, basically a survival procedurally generated game,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Permadeath, procedural.
I've heard a lot of don't start
urban
comparisons.
Yeah. Yeah. The cool thing to me is that it's like all of those things, but in an urban setting. Yeah. So you're like scavenging through people's apartments and stuff, but you have to pretend to be like high or whatever on this joy drug. You have to pretend to be happy.
And it looks like pretty creepy. There's a lot of
a lot of creepy. The art looks creepy. Really cool.
Yeah.
Check out the art if you haven't.
That's neat.
But
Hyperlight Drifter is another one.
Looks neat.
We've been hearing about Hyperlight Drifter for a while. It's kind of like a Zelda-ish game, right?
Yeah, I feel like that was somebody's, like, you know, game I'm looking forward to, like, last year.
Beginning last year, it was. And it's slated for spring 2016. So it conceivably is coming out beginning of this year.
Yeah,
but it's kind of like a top-down-ish, like kind of slightly isometric, pixely, very cool pixel graphics, kind of Zelda-ish game.
Yeah.
If you don't know it, you should look it up. It's a very exciting indie game, basically.
Yeah.
Bombshell. Who's not excited for Bombshell? Everyone's excited for Bombshell.
I don't know what that is.
It's like this really weird-looking shooting game from 3D Realms, or from Interceptor Entertainment as a developer and published by 3D Realms.
Huh.
And it kind of looks like Duke Nukem with a lady with a gun arm or something. It's kind of weird, but
they were
could
probably
cool.
developing Duke Nukem and then lost the rights to it.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Could be.
Yeah.
Underworld Ascendant is on there from Other Side Entertainment. That's coming out in November, supposedly, if their Kickstarter is to be believed.
Is that related to the movie franchise?
No.
No. Okay. I don't
Underworld,
know anything about.
You mean Underworld, like the
vampire
versus
movie.
That's
Lycans what I
movie?
Assumed.
Kate
yeah.
Winslet or whatever.
Yeah.
No.
I saw all those.
Although now
not
I kind of want an Underworld
on
game.
Yeah, right?
That might be interesting.
I can imagine it being really bad. It's hard imagining it being really good.
Dragon's Dogma. Did either of you guys play Dragon's Dogma when it was on console?
No.
See, so Dragon's Dogma is kind of like Dark Souls-esque. And it's finally coming to PC actually like next week or the week after.
Cool, yeah.
And that's pretty exciting because that's a pretty well loved console game, and I love seeing, you know, good console games like that get PC releases.
When they get good PC
early
releases,
reports,
yeah.
People have had the code. Some people have had code for a bit, and the port supposedly runs really well.
Sweet.
So that's really exciting.
Sweet.
Really.
Catatonic Sheep mentions Torment: Tides of Numenor.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Finally coming out.
Yeah, pumped about that.
Yeah.
That should be really cool.
So explain that game to for the people who don't know.
It's kind of RPG, but more. I'm trying to think what to compare it to. From what I've seen, there's supposed to be like a lot of choice. Mm-hmm. It's not as combat-y as you know, like we were talking about Fallout is you know RPG, but it's totally a shooter. And I don't think it's that style of game at all. But I don't really know how I would categorize it. Just
is it like sort of, sci-fi-y fantasy?
No, it's definitely fantasy.
Okay.
It's fantasy, but a sort of different direction than the sort of traditional just there are dragons and wizards. You know, the sort of everybody's based on Tolkien fantasy. So, sort of its own fantasy world, which is cool.
It's exciting to me.
Yeah, it should be cool.
Nice. I'm just going to skip over, like, every Warhammer game as well.
Yep.
We can just clump them into one ball and say 12 Warhammer games.
Yep, yep.
Figure it out.
They all look pretty okay, though.
No, none of them look terrible.
I've never played Total War, but... the Warhammer version
makes
me want to play Total War. Yeah,
it's exciting. It's really cool. It's funny how you add magic to that game kind of structure, and suddenly I'm like, oh, really?
And honestly, it could be without magic. It could just be the skin, and I would find it. I don't know. It's attractive. It's cool.
World of Warcraft is getting its Legion. Expansion. Mm. I don't play WoW, but that's like pretty cool. I didn't realize that the Legion, the Burning Legion, has not been in the Warcraft world for so long. I'm like totally out of
the
touch
loop.
On Warcraft.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I also don't play WoW, but when we were at BlizzCon, people were super excited. It seems like it's cool.
We have Star Citizen on this list, which doesn't seem unrealistic at this point. Now that they've released the 2.0 and they're starting to bring things together, like I could see an end of 2016, like 1.0 version of that game. I wouldn't be surprised if they go farther, but I mean, it's starting to wrap up the development.
Yeah,
it's looking good.
It's exciting. One of the reasons I'm excited about it, if it is everything it promised, it could be the game that finally replaces Planetside 2 for me.
Mm.
Though, you know, that's saying a lot. But Planetside 2 is slated to get a big update this year also. I'm just going to shout that out. They're doing they're adding constructibles to the game. Or
sounds kind of
they're testing it right now. But gathering resources, building your own little bases and defending them. It's all part of sort of continent conquering. Could be cool. Could change the game a lot.
Spiritus mentions Divinity 2.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Solid.
And he says it's going to be delayed. And actually, that's why I didn't bring it up, because they said December 2016 in their Kickstarter. And I just doubt they're going to hit December 2016 also. Like, it's nothing against Larian Studios, because they've been battle-tested in that they can do a Kickstarter game with the first one and the Enhanced Edition. Like, they're going to finish that game, and it's going to be good, but it's probably going to get delayed. And, you know, that just happens. It's like when Schaefer was on here talking about game delays. Like, your schedules change as you start making the game. So,
I'd rather have it delayed and done right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And generally.
There's
other things to play in the meantime.
Roller Coaster Tycoon 4, or Roller Coaster Tycoon World, we've talked about that briefly. It's, like, kind of exciting, but also really, like, we're not sure, because the alpha came out and was, like, really not good, and they went back to try to fix it, so who knows where that's going to be. Ashes of Singularity. There are so many games that I don't even know. Like, Cook Serve Delicious 2 is coming out in 2016.
Great.
Endless Space 2, Halo Wars 2, a lot of sequels. XCOM 2, we already mentioned. Mm-hmm. My God,
Yeah, there's only a few of the games we've talked about that are my absolutely definitely gonna buy and play. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of them I'm intrigued by, and I'll, you know, probably buy them eventually, but because that's all I do. but XCOM 2 is on the I'm getting that right when it comes out list.
It's gonna be so all our offices about for a while.
I'm looking forward a lot to Enter the Gungeon, which is now also on the list. As we start entering kind of action-y games.
Yeah. God, there's still more categories.
Yeah, there's so many categories. Enter the Gungeon is this, you know, dungeon crawler game that I think is really good looking, and we played at the PC Gamer or PC Gaming show, our E3 show. Mighty Number 9, I'm actually not hyped for anymore. I just have lost all hype for that game, and it really makes me sad because when they launched the Kickstarter, I was so excited it was finally happening, but just what they've shown of the game is not very exciting, unfortunately.
Yeah. That's the what's it called? Mega Man kind of clone.
It's Keiji Inafune, who's the creator of Mega Man, leaving Capcom and making his own Mega Man.
Right.
And it's basically just Mega Man, but it just kind of looks eh. You know, like it
like would you rather download ROMs and just play play the originals?
Kinda. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, the first 1 through 6 now are available on PC.
Oh, cool.
As part of like a Mega Man collection.
Like a port collection thing.
And they're really, really well ported. So if you are fans of the old Mega Man games, those are available officially on PC first time.
And pretty good package.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. They've got all this great like old concept art and stuff, but that's already out. Super Street Fighter V, and it comes out next month, and then Super Street Fighter V Ultra will probably come out later in the year because that's what they always do.
I like Street Fighter. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Are you a fighting game kind of guy?
No. Well, ideally, I just don't know anyone who likes them as well and is at my level. It's a very conditional thing. You know what I mean? No, I'm not good. I'm
get
just like,
on his level.
I like him just above sucking, so I just need a friend who's somewhere around there.
So, legit.
Let's move on. We're now in the platformer and puzzle games. Abduction is supposed to be out this spring. Abduction, spelled with an O. We were talking about Myst earlier.
Oh,
this
is
by Cyan.
Yeah.
This is by the original Myst Riven Exile team. And it's basically a Myst game. It's a walk around an abandoned island solving puzzles game, which is also what The Witness is. But The Witness, I think, is more straightforward puzzles. Like you walk up to a puzzle panel and you solve this very kind of like you were just doing a normal puzzle sort of thing. Whereas Abduction is more like these thinking puzzles like Myst was.
I got to shout out Ultimate Chicken Horse. Platformer game of horse. You guys know basketball? Horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you take turns.
Oh, that's cool. Multiplayer.
Oh, my God. I saw this game earlier.
Yeah. So you take turns getting to a goal. Basically, there's a simple platforming level or template as far as I know. And then you take turns adding obstacles and designing a level like on the fly. And if you complete it, you know, the other person has completed it.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
You get an H. It's kind of a cool little idea.
It's a fun idea because what it does is it makes you, like, you want to put the obstacles in dangerous spots so they screw up, but not dangerous enough that you can't make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a cute idea.
Yeah. No, I actually really like that.
Yeah. Rain World and Cuphead are both
beautiful indie
platformers that are coming out this year that I'm super excited about. This is my category, so I'm sorry if I stop here, but I love platformers.
Oh, ditto. I'm with you.
Cuphead. Rainworld is just like they're both gorgeous and they're for their own reasons, right? So like Rainworld's
the cat slug. Right?
Yeah, it's like slug a cat slug thing.
Yeah. That looks great.
It's just amazing pixel art where also like the tail has like procedurally like moved, so you're not sure how it's gonna. It's very, very cool.
Yeah.
And Cuphead, the idea of Cuphead was that they were making the art look like a cartoon from the 1930s, you know, like
really
old school,
cool.
And it looks exactly like that.
Yeah,
it looks like they took. If they took Cuphead and went back in time to the 1930s, it probably wouldn't stand out much. Like, it's really well done.
The characters and everything are, like, a little, like, weird and a little, like, you know, a little more creative, which is the nice thing. It's sort of like taking that style and,
There's a boss carrot.
A boss carrot. It's nice. Amazing. That's awesome.
Fight a carrot.
Make some carrot cake.
There's just ukulele we already mentioned. I'm very excited for ukulele. I also wouldn't be surprised if ukulele was delayed. It's currently slated for October from the Kickstarter, but Kickstarter games get delayed all the time. Like, you're supposed to make an optimistic estimation, basically. Right. And
based on the minimum amount of money you get.
And yeah.
They got, right.
You know.
Well, actually, ukulele, and I do want to mention this real quick, is that ukulele and Playtonic, I think they did something incredibly smart with their Kickstarter that most other Kickstarter games don't do, which is none of the stretch goals. They made way more money than they needed to, but none of the stretch goals had
additional content.
Exactly. They did, I was trying to look for the right wording. They didn't feature creep at all. They were doing stretch goals that were for completely things that were unrelated to adding things to the game. They already knew what game they wanted to make, and the stretch goals were just kind of beyond that. And then the final stretch goal was all of the Kickstarter backers getting the DLC that they had like an idea of that they would maybe want to make after the game for free. So it wasn't even we're gonna make DLC. It was we think we might make this after the game is done. We have a couple more ideas that are probably not gonna make it into the final game, and when we work on that after, we'll bring it to you.
Right.
So it's, I think they did a really good job of limiting how the bloat of that game during its Kickstarter life, which I think is admirable.
Yeah, having a very clear idea of the game you want to make before you kickstart it is kind of cool. Yeah. Not that I think that's the only way you have to do it, but that's great.
There's a game called Hover Junkers that's a VR game, but it's only for the Vive that I'm really excited about.
The Vive?
The Vive. Bringing
I didn't
that
say
back.
It the first time you said Vive. I let it go.
But that's like a really cool VR game where you're basically like in the Borderlands world, but you're like flying a little ship around and you're like shooting at people with a revolver. Sweet. It's very cool.
Is it actually like franchise Borderlands?
No, it's not. Okay, it's just like similar, looks like kinda. It looks like they wanted to.
Yeah.
Looks like they pitched it to 2K and then 2K was like, nah, we'll move on. Yeah. And they just made their own game.
Cool.
No Man's Sky. We talked about Star Citizen already, but No Man's Sky is the other one.
So No Man's Sky might be another one that falls into the I'm going to get it category.
I'm totally waiting to see camp on that.
I've been digging slightly simpler games recently, just again as like a contrast to really competitive like shooters and MOBAs and, you know, card games, Hearthstone, which I love all those, but, you know, something to kind of take a break, fly around a little bit. It will be interesting to see just how much you can actually do in the game. I think that's the biggest concern. Yeah. It's like, okay, you know, another species of little dinosaur creatures that these ones have four legs.
I'm okay. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like as mind-blowing as, you know, it first was when we heard the idea.
Right.
Like 2-3 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
But I'm down for like a cool game where I can explore a bunch of different planets and they look nice and, you know, I get to name stupid rat birds and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks really pretty. It looks really nice. I think it'll be cool to, like, just cruise around a little bit.
But chill.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think that it's undoubtedly going to be a good game. It looks like we've seen enough gameplay to know that it's going to be, you know, something, I guess is the way to say it.
It'll be a game.
But I am very hesitant to buy into another you can do anything you want game, because I always just kind of get into those games and go, I don't know what to do now. And
it doesn't seem – I mean, my concern is that you can't actually do everything you want.
Uh-huh.
You know, like you start, you know, burning the planet and, you know, you get stopped. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm excited. I'll check it out. For sure.
James, are you excited for Home Free?
Yeah, I was about to stop you and say quick shout out to Home Free, open world dog RPG.
Nice.
Yeah, you can sniff butts.
Dog RPG.
Sniff butts all day.
Oculus. Oculus ready. VR ready.
I'm into it.
The Climb was on there too, which is the Oculus game that we talked about before.
It's pretty cool.
The Oculus rock climbing game. Rock climbing, cool. Joel. For those Mystery Science Theater fans out there. Chris Livingston posted this clip of Mystery Science Theater where they just say rock climbing over and over during this like 20-minute rock climbing scene.
Nice.
And it just is, it's amazing. I was crying during the entire thing. Mystery Science Theater, this is completely unrelated to PC games, also had a successful Kickstarter where they funded 14 new episodes.
Oh, that's fun.
That's exciting. Tacoma is a game from the people that made Gone Home. I never played Gone Home, but Tacoma looks very interesting, kind of like story adventure walking around game.
Yeah, you can add both of them to your category of short games that you'll start and hopefully finish. Yeah. Maybe. No, but that's cool. I'm pumped for that. It's sci-fi, right?
Yeah, it's in space. It's on space.
So that'll be cool to see.
Oh my god, my computer is lagging as it scrolls through all the games. But we've gone through the majority of I think what we're hyped for. We've spent a very long time talking about games.
Yeah.
So let's move along. Actually, I think we can all agree there are some great games coming out in 2016.
It's gonna be a good
year. We didn't even list a tenth of the games on the list, and that list is not every game that's coming out, right? It's a lot of the best ones, but
yeah, it's super cliche, but I'm actually more excited this year for new games than I've been in a really long time.
I'm sort of with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's move on. Let's start talking about, real quick, I want to just jump through and talk about, before we talk about VR, the problem that happened with Steam on Christmas, because a lot of people probably heard about this and they didn't actually, aren't sure what happened. There's a lot of misinformation. Yeah. So basically what happened, if you didn't hear, is people were logging into Steam and seeing other people's data. This was during the sale. This was on Christmas Day. Yeah. And they would log onto their account page and they would see other people's emails and other people's, like, the last four digits of their credit card and the last two digits of their Steam Guard phone number. And it wasn't anything vital. Like an email, obviously you don't want to spread that around, and like the last four digits of your credit card number you don't want people seeing anyway. But like, it was all protected. There were no passwords. There were no hacks or anything. But it was terrifying. It was a fiasco, and it was all kind of horrible that Steam let it happen, right? And like that it happened is really, really unacceptable. Yep. Just because nothing, you know, awful or like irreversible happened doesn't mean that it's like they get a pass, right? It was still really bad.
And it happened randomly, right? Like certain people would log on and it would just show you somebody. It was as if somebody else had logged on, basically.
Yeah. And one of the reason for that was actually because the servers just got overloaded on Christmas. Mm-hmm. I mean
– yeah, they hit a record, right, of concurrent users?
12 million concurrent users just this last weekend.
Yeah,
so Steam is growing every day and their servers are under more and more load. Just to give you an idea also, Gary Newman tweeted – that on a normal day, Gary Newman, for those of you who don't know, the creator of Gary's Mod and Rust, Gary's Mod just sold 10 million, its 10 millionth copy over the New Year's break. On an average day, he said they sell about 3,000 copies on an average day.
Crazy.
On Christmas Day, they sold 75,000 copies. So that gives you an idea of just the how much more of a load Steam was under on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And it was actually down. But what Steam said is that it happened because it was overloaded. Mm-hmm. There was only about an hour, a little over an hour long period where it was happening before they shut it down and caught it. And they had to reset the system. Tyler and Chris and Tim were Weekend Warriors doing a news story on this on Christmas Day. So they deserve a shout out for that. Last two digits of credit card number, Tyler says, correcting me. And it kind of wasn't – like Catatonic Sheep in chat says it was a DDoS attack, but it wasn't really like an intentional DDoS. It was just like too many people logged on. I don't know. Like,
I mean, there could have been some intentional like
– somebody could have pushed it.
Yeah.
Could have been pushed over the edge. That's true.
Yeah.
But
I mean, not that that's – as far as I know, that's not confirmed. But
It just was like – I mean, did you guys get affected by it? It seemed like very limited.
I saw Twitter light up and I said, I'll get on Steam later. I'm not going to worry about it.
I mean, it was really scary though. And it brings up these questions. Like we were talking about like whether or not you want to trust Valve earlier in the show. Like it brings up these questions of like Steam has become such a casual part of PC gaming that when something like this happens, it's kind of like a bucket of cold water where you're just like,
all my information is there.
Yeah.
All my games I play through there, all my licenses for my games, which is a weird little thing. But, you know, my right to play this game is like kind of through Steam, you know. It's weird.
It's just very – it's startling. It's a startling thing.
It's sort of – It kind of feels like Steam has become the Facebook of, you know, what Facebook is to like social planning. You know, like if someone's inviting me to a party, they don't call me or text me or email me even anymore. They just make a Facebook page. It's like everything is funneled through that. Mm-hmm. So, and similarly, you know, privacy issues and things like that are a concern.
And even though
to be aware of it,
even though this was, as Tyler points out, just a caching error in the chat, like it's kind of like it brings up that same point of Valve is a small company that has an enormous job and an enormous load that they're taking on, and they kind of don't have they've been doing a great job of keeping it from being DDoSed, considering, you know, and like this is one of those moments where you're like, I'm kind of surprised it hadn't broken earlier, you know? Not saying that it's okay, but it's just like, man, it's freaky to think how fragile that system probably actually is. And it makes me nervous. It makes me want to stop using Steam as much, you know, not all together. And it doesn't make me want to boycott Steam, but it does make me want to look for indie developers' websites when I'm buying games, you know?
Right, like you said earlier.
I said earlier.
I mean, personally, it won't change my Steam habits at all. I'll still probably buy most of my games through there and play most of my games through there. But that's just because, in a large part, laziness. I mean, I don't want to, like...
I'm with you.
You know, but, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so convenient. It's very convenient.
It is. Yeah. And that's kind of the position they found themselves in to let them have this sort of monopoly, is they just become the most convenient thing. And suddenly everyone doesn't want to leave that thing.
You mean Origin doesn't boot automatically for you when you turn on the computer?
No, I've unchecked that box. Origin and Uplay are unchecked. Actually, I might have uninstalled Origin. I've installed Uplay now for Rainbow Six Siege has kept that on my computer. Nice. But it took Siege to do that.
Yeah.
But we can... Basically, I just wanted to clear the air with that. I want to talk about it. You can form your own opinion on whether you think Valve should, you know, be more apologetic, be less apologetic if it was just a thing, if people are freaking out. Like, that's all. Please form your opinion. I just wanted to talk about kind of our perspective on it and what actually happened.
Yeah. And actually, just to add, there's a different possibility for the whole thing that hasn't really been considered, that the whole attack was actually Valve doing it as part of their ARG. That it was actually intentional. People weren't really seeing other people's real info, but it was all like, you know, hidden codes in the winter Steam sale.
So what you're telling me is Half-Life 3 is confirmed?
Yeah.
That it happened for 3 hours and 33 minutes.
If you look really careful in some of the Steam comics, you can see there's five pixels. There are five pixels that are gray instead of black that form a lambda.
I can't do this anymore.
I'm out. Anyway.
They've broken my heart too many times.
DiNardo 1910 just subscribed as well. So that's our fourth subscriber in just this stream. Well,
if you Christmas say Half-Life month. Enough.
Yeah, all we got to do is say Half-Life.
Actually, that's Half-Life. Probably going to get people to unsubscribe, Half-Life. Not resubscribe.
But yes. So thank you for subscribing, and let's move on from the sadness that was Steam and the conspiracy theories that was the ARG around the Steam sale. Let's talk about VR again. So we talked about VR when you were on the show 3 weeks ago, Will. But when we talked about it then, it was that the Vive, the Vive, whatever you want to say, I'm going to murder you, man. Now it's stuck in my head.
If you start saying Vive, I'm going to start correcting you to Vive. Okay. Like, whatever you say, I'm going to...
I just can't win?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's coming out in... that was got delayed, right?
Right.
We heard that got delayed.
Because
of this technological breakthrough that they said they had. But now also the Oculus Rift is now... has pre-orders tomorrow.
Yep.
And I would...
That's my birthday present.
I would say hardware is not really any different than software in that, like, you know, waiting for reviews is probably the safest bet. Pre-ordering is not necessarily endorsed by PC Gamer, you know?
Yeah,
if you're crazy about the Oculus and you know you're going to get it, like, we can't stop you. But at the same time, it's... especially with the first round of technology like this, it's always better to just kind of, like... wait it out and see what happens. I'm considering pre-ordering an Oculus Rift personally.
Yeah.
Almost entirely because I want to support VR.
Right.
Like, to a certain extent, I'm accepting the fact that it might not be great. The Vive vibe might be – you got me now. You did. It got me – it looks a little more exciting to me, right? Yeah. But I, to a certain extent, I'm saying to myself like, okay, you know, I understand that there are going to be opening day problems with this probably for a long time, and the second generation is probably going to be better. Yeah. But I just want – to put money into its success to a certain extent. Right. I want to, as a consumer, speak with my wallet and say, man, I really want this to be a thing.
Sure.
But a huge part of that is price, which we have not heard, and we're going to hear tomorrow. I was really, really hoping they'd announce it today so we could be like, the Oculus Rift got a price on the show. Oh, my God, it's live. But no, we can't do that. So my I have two questions for each of you.
Yes.
First of all, what do you think the price is going to be? Mm. And then what would it take for you to buy it first round?
Yeah.
This is the Rift specifically.
Now, are those two questions for one of us or two questions for both of us? Or are there another two questions that – okay. I
see if you get invited back on your birthday again.
I feel like, I can get away with anything.
You're really struggling over this. I'll say what I think. Yeah. I'll say what I think to start. I think it's going to be announced at minimum $500. And I think that it will take it to be about $450 for me to probably buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I really want it to be like $350 because he was like, when he told Wes, Mitchell told Wes that, I can't remember his first name now, but. One of the Oculus guys told Wes a while back, our hardware editor, that it's going to be at least $300. So we know that it's at least $300. And they also said a while ago that like the Oculus Rift experience was going to cost like $1,400.
Oh, like getting a rig that's going to run it.
Yeah, you know, the rig that runs it.
And renting a small apartment where you can
go. People did the math about it. What after they released the recommended settings of a 970 and like the processor, they kind of put that computer together and then looked at the price difference, and it was something around like $300 to $400. But now everybody thinks it's going to be a little more than that. Palmer Luckey has said that the initial consumer price for the first one is not going to be one that consumers like. Like it, they just know that the first one's going to be expensive because it's for the hardcore people. So I'm predicting at least $500 for the actual thing, and it needs to be at least $400 to $450 for me to like – or at most $400 to $450 for me to go in on it for the first round.
I mean, my big worry, of course, is that they release it at that price point for the first edition, and then, you know, the idea being later it'll be cheaper as the technology becomes, you know, more available and it's been proved that people will buy it. My worry is that once it's – prove that people will buy it, they'll keep the prices up there. Like, oh, people are buying it $500. Great.
Yeah. I think they know, though. I think they know that the high price is going to put people off.
Well, because, I mean, the big thing, like, you know, there's been some comparisons to when the Wii came out because it was a new system. It was very accessible, different technology. So the nice thing about that is it all comes in this easy package that your grandparents can buy for you. I mean, some grandparents know a lot about computers, so I'm not I'm not trying to be ageist. You know, so it's going to be accessible, obviously, to people of our sort of demographic, our age range, you know. But will it be accessible to a younger audience who would love it? And in order for it to be accessible to that audience, will the older generation understand it enough to buy it for the younger audience?
Yeah.
That's a weird place to hit.
What do you think, James? What do you think price-wise?
I'm kind of with you, 500. I don't think – I mean, this is the year of VR for people who are already excited about VR. It's not – I don't think this is the – you know, the big revolution necessarily, or if there will ever be one necessarily. But I think people who want it and are excited about it are going to buy it this year. Almost, I won't say no matter what, but, you know, people who are excited about new consoles have paid $500 before. And, I don't think that's too much to ask for an enthusiast, you know, a piece of hardware. The PC is a whole other story, but I imagine a lot of people, again, who are excited about VR are getting ready or have gotten ready or have been ready for, you know, the requirements. So
that's why I'm excited about a 970.
Right.
Because now I have the recommended specs for it.
Yeah. So for me, it's going to take, you know, maybe a year or two before I, like, buy one. But that's because I need to raise Tim. Tim, where are you?
He's not listening.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it is sort of, you know, I can imagine it being sort of a competitor for buying a console. So, you know, are you going to buy, you know, the Xbox next or whatever, you know, the next thing is going to be. But you can buy that or you can buy VR. The audience, of course, that's interested in it already all have PCs or, you know, like you said, hopefully are getting, you know, 970s for Christmas.
All I know is I really don't want VR to be like iPhones. I really don't want Oculus to release a new headset every year.
Yeah.
I imagine they're going to do that for the first bit of it. But I really want there to be – I want the Oculus Rift 3 or whatever to like last me a couple years. I don't want it to be this thing that gets obsoleted in 12 months. It'd drive me crazy, especially if the price is going to be $500.
They're going to do it though.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, because think of like a graphics card, you know, like you gotta change those out periodically. I mean, if you get a nice enough one, maybe.
Whoa. But the graphics card is the type of thing that like you won't really need to upgrade it until like you're feeling the hurt of games, right?
Yeah. Right.
Whereas I feel like what they're going to do is they're going to say, hey, we had this technological breakthrough looking at you, HTC, and 6 months later we have a better version that now – you can't play certain games without this new hardware that's in it.
Right.
That's what I'm nervous about. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have people who say, you know, when you upgrade your graphics card, it's not like your graphics card suddenly has a camera on it that certain games take advantage of. That's only happens with 3DSs. And
I imagine they wouldn't want to split their install base so early that they would, you know, not make a new model alienate, you know, the install base they already have.
Right.
Especially when it's so vital that they, like, pick up Steam in the next 5 years or so in some form. I wouldn't doubt that, you know, like we've seen on the Vive, I wouldn't doubt Oculus has a model next year with a camera on front. That seems like something they would go for, and it seems like something that wouldn't cut out, you know, users of the original. It might limit, you know, there might be some augmented reality experiences that you can't play, but
And for those of you who didn't hear, that's what was just announced about the HTC Vive today, is that its new version, this technological breakthrough that they had announced and delayed the headset for, is most likely this little camera that's on the front of the headset now. And Wes is actually probably has it on his head at this moment at CES 2016.
Hanging out in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and it basically, it's very cool. It lets you see through the headset, you know, so when you're not playing a game, it just shows you the camera and you don't have to take the headset off, and you can see your keyboard if you're switching games or something like that, or you can see where other people are. And then also the headset can detect walls or people or animals that are near you and kind of better show you those while you're in game so that you don't run into them.
Yeah, I mean, which I think is cool. I think that's a really cool idea. At first, I was like, oh, my God, like an excuse. It's just an excuse to not take off the headset. But it'd actually be really convenient. I mean, like, I'll eat dinner while I'm playing games now, you know. I mean, it'd be nice if I was social and, like, eat dinner with people.
Have you guys played a VR game and tried to find your hands on the keyboard?
Oh, yeah.
It's like... it's pretty disorienting. So simple thing.
Yeah, and having – I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but having a button either physically or in the game that you just can, like, tap, like, maybe when you pause, the camera just comes up so you can just, like, look around for a second. I can imagine it being pretty natural and, you know.
Well, let's start taking some questions from Twitch Chat because we do have to wrap up soon. So if you do have any questions for us, anything in your mind in PC gaming this week or from last year or looking forward to next year or VR or whatever have you, tag us with @PCGamer in the Twitch chat and we will look at your questions. If you are subscribed, because we now have subscribers, we'll definitely be taking a look at your questions first. We do give preference to subscribers in the Twitch chat Q&A portion of the show. And if you are watching on YouTube or listening through iTunes or directly from our website or PodTrack or wherever have you, also, I've been saying that a lot lately.
Yeah.
This is not going well.
It's all right. Hey, man. Coming off break, we're all lunching back.
If you are watching online somewhere else after the fact, thank you very much for doing so. We love that you do watch the archived version of the show. But if you ever do want to see it live and participate in the Twitch chat Q&A, we do stream at twitch.tv/PCGamerTuesdays, 1 p.m. Pacific time. So you can come and join us then. DiNardo in the chat actually said, I keep worrying that VR will make me motion sick. And I think that's actually a really interesting concern because I'm concerned about that too. And I think it'll be sad if, you know, when you go to a 3D movie and the 3D movie suddenly gives you a headache and then you can't enjoy the movie, you've wasted $15 or whatever. Right. If you buy a $500, $600 VR headset and a 970 in order to run it and you're super excited about VR and you put on the headset and the first time you throw up because you can't deal with it,
right,
that would suck. Like, that would be gut-wrenching if I get a VR headset and I'm really excited about it. Like, this could happen to me. I'm terrified of that. Like,
well, and that's hard, too, because, you know, potentially you could go try the headset out. Maybe your friends have it. You could play a little bit. But, like, let's say Star Citizen comes out, full VR. You're playing that for 6 hours straight. You know, is that going to make you sick? You know, I don't know. I mean, Our video producer, Scott, who's sitting outside right now, he's waving to us. He actually gets motion sick with sort of any first-person shooter game. Yeah. So he's already limited, you know, and I can imagine just dividing the player base even more into people who can't play VR games. Yeah, so that's we'll a concern. See. It's a concern.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. JBJ Blaze asks, I once heard 2015 was to be the year of the gamer. Considering what's come from last year, does anybody here agree with that? Also, might 2016 be more worthy of the title? I feel like we're in the age of the gamer. Like, I feel like right now it's not really – year implied that, like, 2015 was the peak, and I feel like we're just going up.
Yeah, there's so many games. There's so many games in 2015 I missed. So many of them were good. Same with this. It's incredible. And, like, there's so many different kinds of games being made, too. Like, my pick of the year, Sybil, was, you know, just a weird FMB personal biographical thing. And we have that, plus Metal Gear, plus Star Citizen, plus...
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's
crazy.
I mean...
Age of the Gamer.
I would say
Age of the Gamer.
Yeah, Age of the Gamer.
Coined here.
I would say 2015 more likely to be Year of the Gamer only because it's a little bit more round. You know, well, it's not a round number, but it's 15 is nice. It's like right in between 10 and 20. It just sounds better. Yeah.
But this year we actually have 366 days. It is a round number.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
One whole day to game.
Extra. But I'm like I said earlier, I'm more excited for games in 2016 than I was in 2015. But,
2015 had a lot of open world games. It'll be interesting to see if that trend continues this year.
Owl.
Yeah.
Year of the Owl? Year of the upgradable Owl, yes. Let's see what other people said. DiNardo loved the Snow Crash reference from Tyler.
Solid. I assume that was in chat.
My name is Mudass. Curious where Evan Lottie made his way off to. He's up in Seattle. I think working for Amazon Gaming. So he has left us, but we do miss him, but we don't have any hard feelings or anything like that. It's nothing like that. Martin Van Muren asks, did you hear any of the rumors about Civ 6? Did you guys hear the rumors about Civ 6?
No.
Rumor is quarter three or four, second half of 2016, Civilization 6 will come out. Total rumor, right? This
feels
is just
kind of soon, especially with XCOM 2 being like,
that's what a lot of people are saying, but I saw somebody kind of point out that 2K usually does only announce their games about 6 to 8 months before they come out.
Yeah.
So potentially we could see an announcement either in the first quarter of this year or even at E3 and then see something at the end of the year. I think that it – I don't know. I would be surprised if they didn't do another Beyond Earth expansion. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised because that game's not nearly as played as Civ 5 is still.
Which, I was going to say, Civ 5 still played a lot. I mean, it's got crazy legs, crazy legs. I mean, I see friends like on Steam jump into it still. And I'm like, that's cool. I mean, I loved it when it came out. So,
oh, man.
Uh-oh.
Varindeel asks...
This is a PlanetSide 2 question. I know it already. I'm not even looking.
Do you think PlanetSide 2, as 2's announcement of base building, will revitalize the game? And I'd add to that, do you think the game needs revitalizing?
I think any game that's been out for 3 years is in constant need of a little bit of, you know, revitalizing. World of Warcraft does it every year or so.
Do you think base building will be the thing?
I think – so it's interesting because I think it'll change the game. Mm-hmm. And probably not dramatically, because the player base that already loves the game for what it is are going to keep playing it the way they want to play it. I think it'll bring some people back, both from the original player base, you know, people who have just gotten tired because it's been 3 years. But I also think it could bring new people. You know, I think it could be really cool. It's going to be some cool mechanics, some cool stuff. So I'm pumped. I'm pumped.
Yeah, there's already a couple people in chat that say it's got them interested. You know, and
it's solid.
I'd be interested in trying it too, but at the same time, I guess I'm kind of interested in trying it now also. So maybe the base building isn't the thing that's getting me interested.
What I'm really excited about in PlanetSide is everybody to be running around gathering resources and building bases so that I can sneak up on them and just destroy them. That's really not destroy the bases, destroy the people. So that'd be cool.
G-Bush Progs asks, what happened to all the Steam boxes? We were expecting the release of a lot of them last November. I think a lot of the Steam boxes came out. Like, I think the reason you haven't heard about them is because if you're enough of a PC gamer that you're not really interested in pre-built systems anyway, that's kind of all a Steam box is, right? Yeah. It's just a very, very, very convenient, small, living room intended pre-built. So I think a lot of Steam boxes came out and, you know, probably not to much fanfare, and the people who are buying them are probably enjoying them. And if you have a PC, you don't really need one. I just discovered actually that I can stream from my desktop to this kind of like meh laptop that I have. So I've stopped moving my PC to my TV altogether, and I was going to buy a Steam Link, but now like I can just do Steam in-home streaming to this other laptop and
so
I
they
don't
shot themselves
it.
In the foot.
They did, to a certain degree. But I guess they needed in-home streaming to even make the Link. So
what I'm excited about with Steam boxes are that they're affordable, which I only really care about in terms of tying it to VR. I feel like that potentially down the line could be a powerful sales tool, you know, like a Steam box bundled with, you know, VR unit.
It's all there.
It's
it
great.
Works.
Yeah. It's all. Go. Yeah. Yeah. There's no setup. You know, you could get it for your kid, something like that. You know, just more accessible.
One day.
Yeah.
Well, actually, one day soon. Real quick before we end, I did want to mention that 3 weeks ago when we had you on the show, we talked about. Does the packaging of Eve Valkyrie with the Oculus Rift, or it might have been earlier than that, make you want to buy it now?
Right.
And then also Lucky's Tale got packaged with the Oculus Rift, and they already announced that the Xbox One controller got packaged with the Oculus Rift. If the Rift comes out with a $500 price tag and two games and an Xbox One controller, now I'm at the point where I'm much more inclined to buy it. Like, if they just said it's $500 and it comes with a controller, like, I would be – like, that's a lot of money. I'm probably not going to pay that. Yeah. But $500 with a controller and two VR-ready games on launch is actually enough of an incentive for me now that I'm more interested when it wasn't individually.
And the games are wildly different and kind of show – I mean, I'm glad they're packaging a platformer in, because if – you've yet to play a platformer or a third-person game in VR, it's actually pretty darn cool.
Yeah, it's pretty darn cool. I'm excited
for that. Yeah. It looks even more fun in some ways than Valkyrie. I mean, like, it'll be cool to see just how much there is to Valkyrie, but I kind of feel, and we were talking about this earlier, but I kind of feel like it could be a little tech demo-y. You know, I've flown around for a few hours. Right. I've had some cool combat, but I've kind of played this game out. Having, like, a big platformer adventure game seems really cool. Yep. Like, it could be the next, you know, Mario 64 or...
Hopefully it's not tech demo-y either.
Well, Wes interviewed them back, I forgot where, but he interviewed him a while back because I had to transcribe the dang thing. And, their intent was to make something worthy of, like, you know, when you got a 64 and you played, Mario 64.
Right.
Maybe not like as big in scope or like revolutionary or whatever, but like something that you really attach yourself to when you have a new console and you say, or you know, this is a really special thing. So
totally,
yeah, they have their heart in the right place. Hopefully, it's good.
Yeah. Well, we will see tomorrow, on Wednesday of this week. We will, I assume, find out the price of the Oculus Rift.
January 6th.
January 6th.
Palmer Luckey's doing an AMA on Reddit.
He is, so you'll get all the info on that. I imagine we might also see at least like a ship window. I wouldn't be surprised if they start shipping Oculus Rifts as soon as the end of February, very, very beginning of March. I would really not be surprised if I wouldn't even be surprised if they were like end of January it'll be shipped, because I think they're ready to go quick now. I think they're really ready to – I think they saw a chink in Valve's armor, them pushing it back a little bit, and they're like, it's our time now. Yeah, like, we're ready to go.
Get everybody jacked into the Rift.
So we'll see. But until then, that's all the time we have today for the show. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us. We will be back again Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific time next week. Same time, same place, twitch.tv/PCGamer or on youtube.com/PCGamer or on our iTunes if you search in the iTunes podcast store, just PC Gamer Podcast. Thank you very much. I've been Tom Marks here with James Davenport and Will Chesney. Thank you again for joining us, guys. Happy birthday, Will. Everyone,
thank you.
In the chat, say happy birthday right now to end the stream. And we'll see you next week. We'll see you then.